We continue our learning. We're in Adios, Perek Dalad, Mishnah Vav. We already mentioned that fruits, vegetables can't become tameh unless it first came in contact with one of those famous seven liquids: water, dew, milk, bees, honey, olive oil, wine, or blood. So this is based on a pasuk. It says in Vayikra, Mikol ha'ochel asher ye'ochel, pasuk shmini, asher yavo alav mayim yitma. Although it mentions mayim here, the Mishnah Machshir in Perek Vav says that the six other liquids have the same status as water. So if you have ochel and there's asher yavol of mayim, then yitma. What's yitma? Means it's potentially, it's susceptible to tumah. So something, a sheretz, let's say, touches the tumah person, touches the food. Now that you have the medium of this liquid, it will become tumah. In that context as well, the Torah says, v'chi yutan mayim al zera. V'chi yutan mayim, we've mentioned this in the past. V'nafam miniv lasam alav tumah hu. It says the word yutan, but it's written not with the vav, but rather with the kubutz. And if you don't have without vowels, potentially you could read the word as yitain. So what's the connection between yutan and yitain? Well, yutan means that it's something's happening passively. Yitain means you are placing the liquid upon it. So the Gemara learns out that in order for the food to become susceptible to tumah through one of the liquids, it has to be yutan dumya deki yitain. When it's true that the liquid, the water, the blood, the dew, whatever it may be, can passively be on the vegetable, on the fruit, in order to make it susceptible to tumah. But it has to be with the ratzon of the owner of the fruit or the vegetable. It has to be to his will, something that he wants. He wants the water to be there. Let's say if it's raining, so he wants it to be moist. But if he doesn't want it to be moist, the water is ruining it. So then that yutan, that passive liquid that's upon it, is not dumya de ki yitain. It's not like yitain. It's not like he's placing upon it. When you do something yitain, when you put something, you give something, you put the liquid on it, obviously it's because you want it there. So therefore, yutan also has to be like yitain. That's why yutan's written without a vav. So the yutan, the passive, should be like the yitain, like the active. Just like when you do something actively, it's because you want it to be done. So too, when it's done passively, it should be where you want it to be done. That's a little background to the following case in the Mishnah where we're speaking about liquid that's upon olives that someone tameh touches. Chavis shel zeisim megugolim. Here you have olives, and the purpose is you plan on eating those olives, and they are megugolim, which means that they are pickled. They're in some type of barrel, and they are salted, and then eventually they're going to be eaten. Beishamai amrim ein otzarech lenakev. You don't have to make a hole. You don't have to make a perforation in the barrel. Why are we making a perforation? What's the purpose of this? So when you have olives that are packed together, they're pickled in salt, so there's some sap that comes out of them and it makes it a little bit wet. So that's not olive oil. It's not the same. It's not the same thing. Nonetheless, we potentially could treat it like olive oil. And olive oil is one of the seven liquids that can make something susceptible to tumah. So it's not exactly the same thing, but we will treat it that way. But we also have to take into account: is this something that the owner wants? So what does a perforation have to do with it? Well, if the owner makes a hole in the barrel, so now obviously he wants that sap to ooze out. He doesn't want it. He has no desire that it be on top of the aisles, on top of the olives to moisten them. So Beis Shammai says, Eino tzarich lenakev. He says, even if the barrel doesn't have any perforation at all, if you make a perforation, it's very clear the owner doesn't want the sap on the olives. Beis Shammai says, I know the owner doesn't want the sap on the olives. So even if he didn't make a hole in the barrel for the sap to ooze out, we assume that he doesn't want it. Sap sitting on the olives makes it too soft, and people aren't going to want to eat the olives that way. So, eino tzarech lenakev, so Beis Shammai, another example of Beis Shammai is lenient. You don't need to make a perforation to show that you're not willing. You don't want to have that sap, that liquid on top of the olives. Beisil omrim tzarech lenakev. Beisil says no. If the owner makes a perforation in the barrel or something that shows he doesn't want, he's not pleased with the sap that's on top of the olive, so then we assume he doesn't want it, and it's not, and then they don't make the olive susceptible to tumah. But if he doesn't make that perforation, so then there's liquid there, something tameh touches them, so the olives will become tameh. Modim, Baisil will admit to Beis Shammai, Shemnikva ustamu ashmarim shehi Torah. Let's say you have the olives in the barrel, and you made a hole, and now it was closed up. So if it was closed up somehow, here shmarim refers to the pulp, the sediment. So that closed up the barrel. So here, the fact that it's closed up and the sap is not oozing out, that doesn't mean the owner wants the sap there. He made a hole. So Beis Hillel admits, agrees with Beis Shammai, then nikvas ustamua shmarim, if the owner made a hole, but now it's just closed up, the sap's not oozing out, and it's now moistening the olives, she told her it's not susceptible to tumah because he demonstrated he wasn't interested in it. Hasoch b'shemen tahor v'netman. The Mishnah continues. You have someone who was anointing himself with tahor oil, smearing on himself, v'netma, and then this person became tameh. Yarad v'tavol, then it went down into the mikvah, but he has upon him, he has some oil that's upon him. So what's the status here of that oil that's upon him that was still on his skin when he went down to the mikvah? Beis Shammai omrim afal pishu minateif tahor. Even though the oil is minateif, it's still dripping on his body, on his skin, he is tar. And it makes no difference how much oil there was. Even if it's dripping, we assume that it's tefil, it's secondary to his body. So if the going to the mikvah was the tevila was effective for his body to make him tar, we assume it's effective for the oil, and it won't make him tame anymore, even though the oil was. Even though he was tahor, and you could potentially say, well, his body was tamei, and the oil that's upon him is tamei. So although his body may have been immersed in a mikvah, the oil didn't help, and therefore potentially that oil, which now did not become tahor by the guy going to the mikvah, once again makes this person makes his body tamei. So Beis Shammai says, no, we don't have to worry about that. Why don't we say, are we really saying that the oil becomes, when it immersed in the mikveh, becomes purified? The answer is no. The only liquid, people become tahor in a mikveh. Kalim become tahor in a mikveh. The oil doesn't become tahor in a mikveh. It happens to be that water does. That's the concept of hashaka. Hashaka, in fact, we learned that in Mishnah and Beitzah. You have a let's say a kli, you put water inside and the water is tameh, and you can bring it agav along incidental to the kli, lowering it down to the mikveh. Once the water is kissed, literally hashaka, the top of the water is filled to the top in the kli, and it touches the water in the mikveh, that water becomes tahor, the water that's in the kli as well. So immersing water in a mikveh can make it tahor, but oil not. So why then does it, if the oil doesn't become tahor when he goes to the mikveh, why don't we say the oil remained tamei? Now since it's on his body, he's also tamei. The answer is because the oil, we assume, is secondary to him. It may still strict, may still own him. No, kidei sichas ever katan, which literally means the amount that's needed to anoint a small limb, which we're assuming is the little finger. Maybe the smallest toe of an infant that's a day old. The point is, only if there's enough oil to anoint a small limb, but not more than that, will Beis Hillel say that, don't worry, the oil is secondary to his body and it's tahor, you don't have to worry about it recontaminating him. But, and some say, it's up until that point, not even. In other words, once it hits that point where it's kedei sichas ever katan, then it's too late, then it's already too much, and certainly more than that. Either way, that's the cutoff point. Less than that, so then we don't have to worry about it. Then it's secondary to his body. But anything more than an ever katan, so that amount of oil, so then it becomes tummy once again, because he's going into the mikvah, may take care of him, but doesn't take care of the oil. The oil remained tummy, because he made the oil tummy when he was tummy before he went to the mikvah, and now that oil recontaminates him. There is a general question with respect to the laws of tumah. If we've discussed this a little bit, is it really true that oil can be metamei a person? A person should not become, what happened here? The person was tamei originally, and he anointed himself with oil. So what happened to the oil? The oil became a rishon l'tumah. And now you want to say that a Rishon LeTomei makes him Tomei once again. A Rishon LeTomei can't make people or Kalim Tomei. So he shouldn't become Tomei from that anyway. So we assume that, no, the Rishon LeTomei can contaminate his hands. So his hands will become Tomei from the oil. And that's the whole discussion over here, whether he's completely Tomei or his hands become Tomei. But his body would not become Tomei from that oil. So once again, this is Hasach b'shemen Torah v'nitma yard v'tava b'shamay omim af alpishu menativ. Even if the oil is dripping, a lot of oil, tahor, the person is tahor, the oil is tahor, you don't have to worry about the oil contaminating the person or his hands. V'sil omim k'dei tzichas ever katan, is only a little bit of oil would be secondary to the person, you don't have to worry about. V'mhayah. But if it's more than that, so then you have to worry. Then the Mishnah says, Vim haya shemen tamei mitchila. So beishamai omrim kidei sichas ever katan uveisil omrim mashke tofeach. So here we have to be more strict, because this is not where they had tahor oil and the tahor oil now was smeared on a person who was tamei. It was smeared on him, and then he became Tamei. Here, the oil was Tamei to begin with. Before he smeared it on his body, but in the previous case, he was Tahor, the oil was Tahor, he became Tamei, and now the oil became Tamei because of him. So then we have that to be a little bit more lenient. But here, the Shemen was Tamei to begin with. It was Tamei from the beginning, before he smeared it on himself. So now, Beishamai, so each one is a notch above. Beit Shammai says, okay, now he goes to the mikvah. How much oil do we consider secondary to him? That which Beis Hillel said in the previous halacha, Beit Shammai applies here. Kidei sichas ever katan. A little bit of oil. Only then is it secondary. The amount that you would smear on the smallest finger, or we said the smallest toe of a day old infant, or whatever it is, that's the amount. Or less than that we don't have to worry about, that secondary. And some say, as we said, no, that already is too much, only less than that. But the point is, according to Beit Shammai, only that, then do we say that the oil is secondary to the person. But if it's more than that, then since the oil was tummy to begin with, before even when smeared on him, we're not going to say that his going to the mikvah is going to take care of the oil being metame him. Or maybe his hands. Uveisil omrim mashke tofeach. Of course, Beisil has to be more strict in this case as well. So Beisil says, no, kedei sichas ever katan. That certainly is a problem. That's not secondary to him. But what is, according to Beis Hillel, what's the cutoff point? Well, we call mashke tofeach. The person will be tahor if there's only enough oil or this on him that will moisten someone who touches it. Someone touches that oil, will it moisten that person's hands? Any more than that, if there's enough oil on him that would moisten the hand of someone else who touches them, so then, and to the point where that can make another person's hand moist, so, and certainly, obviously, if it's enough to make a small limb to smear on that, so certainly, according to Beis Hillel, that would be tamei mashke tofeach, just enough oil that would be able to moisten another hand that touches it. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Beis Hillel tofeach umatfiach. Here, the Rabbi Yehuda quoting Beis Hillel is not as strict as the previous as Beis Hillel himself. Because here he's saying, no, you need a little bit more oil than that. Even a little bit more oil than Beis Hillel said would still be secondary. How much? If the oil is moist enough that if someone would touch it with his hand and then press his hand against his other hand, the second hand would become moist. So that's a little bit more oil than we spoke about. Obviously, it's less than Kedei Ever Sichas Ever Katan. Obviously, if there's oil that can smear a small limb, that's already too much oil. That's not going to going to the mikvah. That oil is not secondary, and he will become tamei once again. But if it's but it doesn't have to be where it just will moisten the hand. According to him, no, that's even a little bit more moisture than that will be secondary to the person and will become tohor after he goes to the mikvah. How much? The amount that would it be enough that if a person would touch, he has oil on his hand, and he would press it on his other hand, and that other hand would become moist. Meaning, the person has the oil on his body. So now you have someone comes over and touches that. So now that that's enough oil according to the first Beis Hillel. According to Rabbi Yehuda Beis Hillel, no. It's not just that it would make that person's hand moist. That person, his hand is moist, and now that hand would touch another hand, and that would moisten the second hand. That's the amount of oil that would be considered secondary. And certainly less than that amount moisture would also be secondary and would become tahor. So therefore, Beis Hillel once again said, Mashke tofeach, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bishim Beis Hillel tofeach umatfiach. Perek Dalu Mishnah Zayin. Ha'isha miskadeshes bediner uveshava diner kidevei shamai. This we may know from the first Mishnah in Maseches Kiddushin. Kiddushin takes place, Eris in the first stage of marriage, with, according to Beis Shammai, has to be a diner, which is a quarter of a sela, 192 prutos equal a dinar, a larger coin, obviously, of a larger value. Vesela omrim, no, much less than that. Ubi pruta v'sheva pruta, a copper coin of a pruta, much less is going to affect kiddushin. Whether it's a pruta or, it doesn't have to be a pruta, it could be a sheva pruta, something that's valued as a pruta. Same thing according to Beis Shammai. It doesn't have to be a dinar, you give a coin, you give sheva din, something worth a dinar, as we give a ring at a wedding. Doesn't have to be cash, it doesn't have to be a coin itself. V'kami pruta, how much is a pruta? Echol mishmona b'isar ha'italki, 1/8 of the Italian isar coin. Now Mishnah says another halacha. Beis Shammai omim poter hu es ishto beget yashan. We had Maseches Gittin. We spoke about a get yashan, and Beis Shammai says a man can divorce his wife by giving her a get yashan. What's a get yashan? So the Mishnah is going to ask and answer that question in a moment. But let's just read Beis Hillel's opinion. Beis Hillel Osrin, Beis Hillel says, you cannot be megarish your wife with a get yashan. A, so he get yashan. What's a get yashan? Call an old get. Kol shen is yachid ima achar shek savo la. These where a husband wrote a get. And between the time, he didn't give her the get just yet, and he had yichud with her. So a person wrote a get to the Megarish's wife, and then after that, he had yichud. This is a get yashan. Beis Hillel says, you're not allowed to use that get. Why not? What's the problem? So you had yichud in between. So the answer is it's a gzera. We're afraid. You know what people are going to say? She is potentially, what's going to happen? People are going to say, Gita Kodim Livna. The get was written before her child, before her son. What are we afraid of? So maybe the husband, after writing the get, is going to wait around a year or two between the writing of the get and actually giving it to her. And they will have, so they'll still have yichud and be intimate with one another. He didn't divorce her just yet. And then have children. And then he's going to be megarish her with that get. And what's going to happen? After some time, they're going to look at the time in the get. They're going to think, oh, a get must have been given the date that it was written. And now what are they going to do? They're going to be motzi las on our children. They say, I know. Who are these children? These are children of a woman who's a penuya. They're going to say, oh, she was a single woman. She had nus with someone, and these are children. She wasn't married. Not realizing that she wasn't divorced. She was still married to her husband, and those are children from her original husband. The fact that he wrote a get, he didn't give it to her. So therefore, Beis Hillel says, it's very dangerous. We don't want people to talk about this couple, or this woman rather, and assume that you out of wedlock she had children. And therefore, if you write a get, you should give it to her right away. Certainly you can't have yichud in between the writing of the get and the giving of the get. Beis Shammai says, we're not afraid. People are going to say, Gita Kodim Livna, that the get was written before she had this child. And therefore they hold, you can be megaris for women with the get yashan. We follow Beis Hillel, that you're not letting megaris with the get yashan. Nonetheless, b'dievet, if a man was megaris as part of the get yashan, she can l'chatchila marry someone else. Then the Mishnah says another halacha. Ha megaris is ishto v'loni mo b'pundiki. Also, Solomim Again, a man is Megarish's wife, and then after being Megarish, he gave her the get already. And now they literally sleep in the same pundiki, in the same hotel, same motel. And there are Edim that see that they had Yichud. So Beis Shammai Omrim, Eina Tzicha Mimenu Get Sheni. You don't need another get. One get is sufficient. She is divorced. We don't assume that just because they had yichud, that this was, they must have had bia l'shem kiddushin. He married her again through this bia, and she needs another get. Why? Why do you need another get? Because of the famous principle Beis Hillel holds, heim heim edi yichud, Haim, haim, ede bia. Since we have edim that they had yichud with one another, although we don't know 100% they were intimate, we assume that they were. Bevadai. Why? Because ein adam Yisrael osa bila so bilas nus. We don't assume that a Jewish man is having znus. So therefore, if he was had yichud with this woman, his previous wife, his ex-wife, we assume that he must have had bila l'shem kiddushin. And if it's l'shem kiddushin, they need another get. Beis Shammai says, no, we don't say heim heim edi yichud, heim heim edi bia. Even though they had yichud together, that's not a raya that they had bia at all with one another. And therefore, according to Beis Shammai, you don't need another get. Amasai, says the Mishnah, when the Beis Hillel hold, then you need a second get, Bizman Shen is Garshman Anisuin, where the Gerishin that took place, remember, this is a man who divorced his wife, and then he had Yichud with her at a later time. So that's where Beis Hillel says, we assume you need another get, because we assume that he was Ba'alehel Hashem Kiddushin and remarried her. But that's only after she was Megureshes from Nisuin, after they had entered the Chuppah and had a full Nisuin. Avala, they're comfortable with one another, they've been intimate with one another in the past. Avalonim is Garshim and Erisin. But let's say he gave her a get after Erisin. They had Kiddush and Erisin. They say that he only gave her a ring. They never lived together, never had Chuppah together. And he gave her, decided to divorce her. So then, Einatricham and get Cheney. Then if they had Yichud after that giving of the get, he doesn't need another get. Mimnesha ain't libo gaspa, because his heart literally is not full with her. His heart, he's not comfortable with her. They have never been intimate, and therefore we don't assume hein hein ede yichud hein hein ede bia that he was intimate with her and was boel al shem kiddushin, and therefore since they're not comfortable with one another, we assume that even according to Beis Hillel, you wouldn't need a get sheni.